Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Coast to coast.
All right, Carver, hi. I mean, before we get into anything else, I just want to say, because we didn't really spend any time on that Steeler game. First of all, I think that's a tease for bettors that this guy says he's going to play, because they have not cleared him to play. I don't believe he's playing until I see it. And even then, like, I would wait to literally 5 minutes before kickoff to make that bet. But look, here's all you need to know, is that Matt Canada sucks. His offense sucks. Kenny Pickett has sucked. And everybody talks about how aggressive he is and everything. What he is he throws a lot of picks. So whenever they get inside the 50, it's pick time. And when they get inside the red zone, it's pick time. I mean, he just gets picked left and right. So I have a hard time believing they're stopping the Eagles. The Eagles run the ball very effectively. They throw the ball very effectively, and they play fantastic defense. They're not 6-0 for their health, right? They're really good. So I don't really believe in the Steelers in Philly. They have never won there since 1965. That is insane.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to win the game on Sunday. The 10.5, look, it could be possible. You never know. Those teams coming off the bye stuff is tricky. I feel like 60% of the time, team comes out fresh and flying. 40% of the time, they're a little flat, especially a team that was undefeated, playing such good football like the Eagles were. I think there's a chance the Steelers could cover. And the Watt thing, when you listen back to it, it kind of sounds like he's saying he feels he could play on Sunday if it was his decision. And as we know, it's not his decision. And Tomlin already said earlier in the week, you know, he ain't ready to go yet. Like, we ain't bringing him back in. So
60% of the time, it works every time.
Let's get to the Jets and the Patriots now, Scotty, at MetLife, Jet Life Stadium, coming up this week. And let's get the preview. Our man Warren Sharp, NFL lead analyst here at Sports Grid, the Sharp Report on the Jets and the Pats.
For years, we talked about how good Tom Brady was in New England off of a loss. This team was unbelievably good, just a bet on auto bet when the New England Patriots lost the game. But do you realize that over the last year and a half, without Tom Brady and with Mac Jones leading the way, this team has gone 6-4 straight up and 7-3 ATS after a loss? Now, that might not sound very impressive to you, but the reality is this. Four of those losses came against Josh Allen, Tom Brady, and Aaron Rodgers. We were talking about three Hall of Fame quarterbacks. When they did not play a Hall of Fame quarterback, which, news to note, Zach Wilson, not yet a Hall of Fame quarterback or anywhere close, the New England Patriots have been undefeated 6-0, and they're 5-1 ATS, and they're winning these games by an average final score of 33-10. This defense absolutely suffocates these opposing offenses that they go up against. Now they're going up against the New York Jets offense. Now, this offense is unlike the offenses that they've played recently. The New England Patriots struggle against running quarterbacks. Fundamentally, their defense struggles against running quarterbacks. And that's a prime example why quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson have had success against them, and exactly why Justin Fields did as well. Now they're going up against Zach Wilson. On the season, the Patriots have played the number one most difficult schedule of opposing offenses. Now they're going up against Zach Wilson's Jets offense. This team is running the football at a above expectation rate in every single one of his starts. That's because he has not been efficient when he's passing the football. out of 32 quarterbacks, he actually ranks dead last in success rate, 30th in completion rate, and bottom five in yards per pass attempt and EPA per attempt. Just not very good. That's why they've been running the ball a lot. But guess what? Now they're dealing with the loss of not only Elijah Vera Tucker, but Breece Hall. Breece Hall has been one of the best running backs in the NFL this season, and he's been very explosive. So much to the point that out of 42 qualifying running backs in explosive gains, Breece Hall ranks number four in the NFL, whereas Robinson and Carter, their new running backs, rank 33rd and 40 out of 42 qualifying quarters. We are talking about moving from top five, like bottom five, bottom 10, in terms of explosive rushing, in terms of rushing efficiency, go down all the metrics, success rate, EPA. Breece Hall was up at the top. These new running backs are down at the bottom. And Michael Carter was playing with the same offensive line. So for him to be that close to the bottom, whereas Breece Hall was close to the top, just shows you how far this defense, this offense has to drop when he's no longer there. On the other side of the ball, we look at this Jets resurgence defensively. It's helped lead them to four straight wins. But look at the quarterbacks that they've done this against. When you take it into context, they have played backup quarterback Brett Rypien, third-string quarterback Skylar Thompson, Mitchell Trubisky then switching to Kenny Pickett mid-game because of how bad Trubisky was, and the Aaron Rodgers-led Packers offense, which really has lost all bearings so far this season. I think this is a great bounce-back spot for the New England Patriots. I think they're going to go in here and win this game outright. I think New England on the money line is the play on Sunday.
All right, the Sharp Report with Warren Sharp, and we'll see what happens in the Meadowlands with the Pats and Jets. Should be very interesting with them coming off the loss to the Bears and the Jets off another win, this time in Denver, and playing without Breece Hall. And obviously, Zach Wilson has had nothing but problems at quarterback. The only good game he had was the Steeler game.
Only good game. I don't really like a side here. I like the over 40. I think that both teams can get in the low 20s, like a 23-20 type of game. A little over 40 for me in this game, Sky. That's where I'm going to go.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I think the Patriots have a shot here. They have a shot to go in there and win this game. We'll see. I don't think the Giants and Jets are going to win every single game, every single week.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, it's certainly musical chairs in Indianapolis when it comes to being a quarterback. They've mowed through enough guys now over the last season and start of another. I mean, this is Wentz, Ryan, Ellinger, and then you've got Ursay Ballard and Reich blaming everyone but their mother for their problems. It's never their fault. It's always someone else's fault. It's always the quarterback's fault. The three heads of state never want to take any credit for anything.
No, they do not. And it will be Sam Ellinger's turn this week. He is ready, Scotty, to take over. As Reich has said, he is going to get the ball for the rest of the season. Let's hear from young Sam.
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of really fast guys in this league, and it can't be just drop back and run around. I think you play within the system, you play within the scheme, and then defenses can do a good job and take things away. And that's when the extra element comes in. So not run first, still being a quarterback first, but then using the capabilities that I have when the play breaks down.
Well, there you go. Very exciting. I never thought he was good at Texas.
No, I mean, he had that one decent year, but other than that, not great. Right now, Scotty, of course, they have Washington coming in -3 for the Colts this week. I'll lay it down. Another low total, by the way, 39.5 in this game. Give me ice cold Heineken Light to win outright in the dome at Indy, straight up. I'm going with those guys.
So you think Sam loses his first game right out of the gates?
Right out of the gate, baby. Give me the quarterback that has played before. Ellinger, he's going to run around. I mean, their offense stinks. He's going to be running for his life. I mean, they couldn't keep Matt Ryan upright. I know the kid's got more legs than Matt Ryan. I liked what I saw from Heinicke last week. I think that they'll get the win.
He looked like a Ron Howard in the Andy Griffith Show right there. Your boy Sam Ellinger.
Next, Carolina visits Atlanta on Sunday. Now, normally, especially at the beginning of the year, you wouldn't have thought this game was going to matter at all. But guess what? Tampa sucks. And if Atlanta wins this game on Sunday, they're going to be all alone in first place in the NFC South. So this is a kind of a significant game for the Falcons. Right now, I saw it go to 4, Scotty, this morning. I believe we're still there. Yes, -4 for Atlanta, 41 the total. I like the Falcons this week.
I kind of like the Falcons, too. I just think Pitts and London are just a problem for the Panthers. Now, look, the Panthers looked really good against Tampa. I'll give them that. I know they've lost Hubbard. He's not playing. I am not buying into P.J. Walker at this point, like, because he beat the Bucs. I think the Bucs stink, okay? And I think the Panthers stink. And I think people talking about the Panthers winning that division are on too many tequila shots. I got to tell you, Atlanta has to take advantage of this opportunity playing at the Benz and just beat them by a touchdown or more. I mean, the Falcons have played pretty decent football. How can you beat the Niners by 2 touchdowns and not beat the Carolina Panthers? Did you see what the Niners did to the Panthers? I'm on the Falcons.
Also, Baker spoke yesterday. He's not going to request a trade despite
his wife being benched.
don't unpack all those boxes. We're not going to be here
She's
long.
She's going to end up with Giselle.
Don't unpack those boxes yet, just quite yet. Arizona goes to Minnesota on Sunday. Vikings -3.5. One of the bigger totals of the week, 49 in this game. Can the Cardinals hang around on the road?
You know, everyone talks about how great the Cardinals are on the road. Slow down, Skipper. I don't think anybody's afraid of the Cardinals. I won't deny they're better off with Hopkins. There's no doubt they have a better scheme with him on the field, any way you slice it. But the Vikings are 3-0 at home. And this boils down to the number for me. Are they going to win? I think so. Are they going to cover to 3.5? My guess is yes. I don't see how Arizona stops them or beats them in Minnesota. They have been ruthless up there this season. No one wants to admit it, but they're winning. You don't get to 5-1 or whatever and not be good, and they're in charge in the North. The Packers season's going down the drain. If the Packers lose to the Bills, which most people think that's exactly what's going to happen, and the Vikings win again, the North will be finished.
The Raiders will be in New Orleans on Sunday. Devontae Adams has had the flu the last couple of days, Scotty, but it sounds like, obviously, he's going to be good to go by
then.
-1.5 for the Raiders. 49.5 is the total. They're going to start Dalton again, which is a big mistake.
I'm a firm believer, as you know, Carver High, in the flu game ritual. I believe that all players that have the flu, Michael Jordan or others, as you know, I perform some of my best shows when I'm sick. I believe that Adams will have a big game. Jacobs will have a big game. The Raiders are better than the Saints. Andy Dalton sucks. And until Dennis Allen admits that, he sucks too. And remember, he was the coach of the Raiders and failed. And now he's failing as coach of the Saints. No one ever talks about how bad a job he's done at both.
Awful. Awful job. I cannot believe he's starting Dalton this week with the way that he's played the last few weeks. And finally, last game for Sunday, Tennessee into Houston to take on the Texans. Obviously, Tannehill a little banged up. Derrick Henry has had some monster games against Houston the last few years. This was 2.5 all week. It's gotten a 3 today, Scotty. Titans -3 on the road at NRG.
Yeah, I think the Texans are awful. I really do. And I'm not fooled by their quarterback or their coach or their record or anything else. I just do not think they're a good football team. Now, I know everybody thinks that they constantly show these trends that, the home dog is 56%, all this other nonsense. You know what that is? It's that math class I skipped in high school.
Charts
I'm not interested
and
in it. Look, charge and graph. That's it, Carver. You got it, brother. It's charge and graphs. Here's the deal. The Titans are better. They got a better team, better running back, better quarterback. And if Willis ends up having to play, he's also more exciting than Davis Mills. And the Titans defense is, in my opinion, now top five in the NFL in every regard, rush, pass, you name it. They have just shut teams. The Bears and Titans have played the best second half defense in the NFL over the last 4 or 5 weeks. That's all there is to it. And if they just go handle their business, they should win this game easily.
I got the game plan for Tennessee. That's foolproof. They won't lose the game. Just give the ball to Henry about 35 times. That's it. Just keep handing the ball to him. And they'll be on the field the whole time. They'll score points. They'll never. They'll win the game. That's it. That's all you need to do in that game. There you go. NFL pain day on Sunday. All right. Let me try to slide in tonight's college, and we'll do all of tomorrow's games after we do the lion's share, Scotty. Last night, the cover for the Hokies getting that 13, although they should have won the
nice
game outright. They
you.
Blew it. 22-21, NC State beat them. Southern Miss beat the Raging Cajuns last night. And a cover for the Cougars late night in Pullman, Scotty. 21-17, a game that they were losing 21-7. And they were able to get some late points to get us that cover out there at Wazoo. So nice job tonight. East Carolina visits Provo. Take on BYU. We also have La Tech and FIU. 6.5 in that game. 3.5 for BYU. Big totals in these games as well. 63 and 57.
Yeah, I'm not really fond of either one of these games from a betting standpoint, to be honest with you. But if I were to make a move, it would be on East Carolina getting the 3.5 because they're playing really good football. BYU's lost 3 in a row. BYU's been getting mauled. Their defense is absolutely terrible. They can't stop anybody. The only thing they got going for them is they're playing in Provo. And Florida International is playing better football than Louisiana Tech at 6.5. I can lie to that in Miami.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pray. This is a whole new jungle. This is The Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
All right, Carver, I know we're getting into the lion's share. Last thing, I think both those college football games are terrible tonight.
I think that they are both pretty terrible as well. I don't have a lot of interest in the East Carolina game. Like, they got that big win over UCF. I don't know. I think they'll probably lose. I kind of like BYU, but I'm definitely not laying 3.5 with them, that's for sure. And the other game, FIU sucks. Like, you could, I know that I kind of like what Kenny gave you the other day about the over in that game, because I think that La Tech probably could paste like 50 or 55 of that by themselves on FIU. But other than that, I think tomorrow's slate is more to my liking, and we'll talk about that next segment after we do the lion's share, Scotty, for a Friday for BetMGM. Props for all the NFL games. Let's start with the passing, as we always do. And Derek Carr is where I'm going to go first. It's 255.5. He's in the dome against the Saints. I've watched the Saints, Scotty, get ripped up the last few weeks in the air. Kyler Murray, Joe Burrow went down to the dome and had a big game. I expect Carr to do the same. 255.5. I think a lot of points in this game, and the Raiders get it done in the air and on the ground, as we'll talk about in a minute. Over for Carr.
Yeah, I'm with you on the over. I think the Saints' defense is terrible. It's pretty obvious why they lose every week. They can't stop anybody. They got no pressure on the quarterback. It's amazing to me how they look, and that Allen refuses to change anything up. I mean, quarterback, their secondary, their pass rush is awful. I think he will go over. I'm with you.
Next, I told you earlier, I think that Dak was just getting his feet wet a little bit last week. Now he has the Bears coming in. Second week he gets to play after the injury. And you know what? I think you're getting a bit of a discount here. I mean, when Dak was healthy last year, this number's usually in the 260s for Dak, 270s. His number's usually a lot higher. 236.5 for him. I know the Bears D can be good, but I'm going to take the over for Dak.
I'll take a shot at the under with the Bears defense. They made, I thought, the kid look terrible, Zappy Hour in Gillette on Monday night. Look, it is what it is. The kid's a rookie, fair enough. But, you know, everybody talks about how great he is, how he just slings it everywhere. He didn't know whether he was coming or going. After they scored those two touchdowns, the Stevenson TD and the passing TD, they never scored again. I mean, that's just all there is to it. And so, like I said, the Bears hold teams to 6 points in the second half for the season is an incredible feat. And so if they're that good, I think it's going to be tough for him to have a big day throwing the ball.
The next one has kind of just become a weekly staple on the Lion's Share because, honestly, it hits every week. So why would we go away? Josh Allen, 277.5, Sunday night against the Packers. I mean, it's 325 every week. We might as well just keep riding it, Scotty.
Yeah, I think he'll throw for 350 to 400 yards this week. I think
very.
He, if everything is lined up the way everyone thinks it is, in terms of how they're just going to destroy him. Well, if they do, he's going to put up those kind of numbers. So we already know he's going to have a big game either way. He's going to have a big game even if they don't destroy him. If they win by six, I still say he throws for 350.
In fact, I think the closer the game, he might throw for more because that means that they're pushing to score more points and doing things like that. He gets over that 277. Next, let's go to the rushing props. I just mentioned to you, Henry, the game plan should be give him the ball 30, 35 times. You're going to win the football game. He has monster games against Houston the last 3 years. I mean, we're talking buck 50 type of stuff with Henry against his team. It's 98.5 for the straight number, minus 115 to the over. Let's get it.
Yeah, why not? The Texans are horrible. So, you know,
next.
All this
yes.
talk about him being stopped by them or them winning and all this other nonsense, they're terrible.
Can't have it. Not at all. They suck, and the Titans are going to take care of business. Next, I'm going to go to Jalen Hurts, Eagles against the Steelers. I just, whenever this is in the 40s for his rushing, I like it. He tends to bust through that 50 barrier most weeks. Have the Steelers coming in. We know about their problems on the defensive side since Watt's been out. Over 49.5 rushing yards for Hurts.
Yeah, my guess is he does it because the Steelers can't get out of their own way. I mean, without TJ Watt, they are not good. Okay? And with him, they are good defensively. Now, look, I don't think they're the worst defense I've ever seen. I mean, they have some talent up there with Hayward, and they have some talent on the backside with Minka. And some of the other guys, I guess you could say, are decent. But to me, when you got your corners and safety making tackles on Hurts, that means he's going to have 50, 60 yards.
Next, we will go to another guy who has been red hot, and that is Josh Jacobs for the Raiders. Yes, I like the car over. Doesn't mean that Josh can't have 100 yards on the ground either against the Saints. It's 85.5 right now. He's been scoring a ton of touchdowns also. That was very pricey. It was like minus 140. I'll probably be there too, but over 85.5 for Jacobs.
Well, I think they've had to rely on him because A, he's been so effective. B, because Renfrow and Waller have been out and Adams is the only featured attraction. So the game has become the Carr, Jacobs, Adams offense. That's what it is. So my guess is and money would be on the over. I think Jacobs has been Breece Hall and Jacobs, for my money, have been the most effective running backs going in the NFL right now. I mean, every week to week, Jacobs is turning into a little badass.
I'm going to try to throw this next guy.
Barkley's the
I'm
going to
throw,
one.
Yeah, I'm throwing this guy in. Where he's the next guy we're using here on the Lion's Share. Barkley leads the NFL in yards from scrimmage. He's been a huge reason why the Giants are 6-1. I think they're going to have a problem throwing the football against the Seahawks on Sunday, which means you're going to see a lot of Barkley. It's at 81.5 right now. I'm taking the over.
Yeah, I'll go under here. I think that Seattle is going to show up at home, and their job, their only job all day, is to get Barkley and put Daniel Jones down. Don't let Barkley and Jones run the ball because they both do a hell of a job, an effective job of running it. I think Jones is better running the ball than he is throwing it, but he hasn't been that bad lately throwing it either. When you're 6-1 and then you still have all these national pundits saying that they're not good. You are good when you're 6-1. Okay. I'll argue with anyone that wants to argue that they're not a good football team. They're going to the playoffs. Okay. And if you make the playoffs in the NFL, you're a good team. That's all there is to it. You're not 6-1 because you suck. And I like both of them running the ball. But I think Seattle will give them problems in Seattle this week. That is a very tough place to play for whatever reason.
Next, receiving props. I think the Lions are going to have a very hard time covering Tyreek Hill on Sunday. Whether you like that spread or not, I think he's going to go off. It's 85.5 now, minus 115 to the over. I think it's going to be a tough day for the Lions secondary.
Yeah, I'd be willing to agree with you. I think that he's, for them, unguardable. The problem is, for me, is that they just haven't been using him effectively. They haven't been producing. They haven't been scoring. They haven't been passing the ball well. Tua did nothing against the Steelers. I mean, honestly, right? So I'm willing to take a shot at that minus about 20 under.
Next one for me is Garrett Wilson. Why are we going to Garrett, Scotty? Because the Patriots are coming in. They always take away your best thing. The Jets run the ball better than anything else. It's 40.5 for Wilson. This could be 2 or 3 catches for him. He gets introduced to Bill Belichick for the first time. I think he finds his way over this low number.
I like that low number over as well. And I think they have to throw the football because I don't think Carter and Robinson are going to do anything running the football because, bottom line is Carter's a backup and so is Robinson. And Hall was the guy that everybody had a problem with. And the problem I have with the bet is do I trust Wilson enough to get him the rock enough to go over to 40? It's not about Wilson. It's about that quarterback of theirs that has been average at best. And not only has he been average, look, I'm not going to argue with their 5-2. And I think they're 5-2 for me because of their defense. But far be it for me to know anything, but I'm telling you, there's something wrong with this kid Wilson. He's just not that good. I don't understand what it is. He's got all the talent in the world around him, and yet they don't do anything with it. It's defense is why they're winning, if you ask me. And their running game, and now the running game's gone.
This next one should be easy. It's correlated every week with Josh. Diggs is now 80.5. It's up from 79.5 earlier in the day. Over for number 14, right, Scotty? Over for Diggs. We're good?
Yeah, I mean, his first catch will be 80 yards.
Terry McLaurin, I told you, ice cold Heinicke likes throwing to him. 59.5 for McLaurin. I'm in against the Colts on Sunday. I think they have a big day together.
Without a doubt. I mean, without a doubt. He knows, your boy, cold Heinicke, he knows what to do with the rock. He goes deep ball to McLaurin as often as McLaurin. He can.
Let's get it. Here's the touchdowns. I'll give them to you in a row really quickly. I like Judy out in London on Sunday morning. Could get traded by Tuesday. Russ finds him 175. CeeDee Lamb, he's finally going to get on the scoreboard. Plus 120. Dak throws the football a little bit. Hunter Renfro. Sneaky play for me this week at plus 145. Everybody else has been getting in the paint. Hunter does this week. And finally, Devonta Smith at plus 155 for the Eagles. Ugh. He's caught touchdowns in a couple straight games. I'm sorry. Steelers will still cover. Doesn't mean the Eagles aren't going to score points.
Yeah, I think all of those are very real live possibilities.
There we go. The Lions share for Pain Day, Week 8, BetMGM. Let's ring the bell on Sunday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So, you know, you can place a single first basket score bet on any NBA game up to a $25 risk-free bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions, and then you too can sit in the sauna with the big ticket.
Lots of NBA action to use that on tonight as well, Scotty, including the Knicks and the Bucks in Milwaukee tonight. Ooh. If you so choose, we will hopefully effort to get to all of that in the final hour of Coast to Coast. But first, we got college football Saturday that we have to get through. Like you said, tonight's game's a little underwhelming, but tomorrow, let's see what we have. We will start with the high noon East kickoff in Happy Valley, where Ohio State comes calling for the Nittany Lions, Scotty. 15 and a hook for the Buckeyes on the road. Total of 61.
Well, I hate that number, obviously. To play there at University Park at Happy Valley against the Nittany Lions. I think if it was at nighttime under the lights with a whiteout, I'd probably take the points. But I don't really believe in that Penn State team as much as everybody else. You know, they got smoked in Ann Arbor at the Big House in the second half. And I got to tell you, Ohio State plays terrific football after the break. I mean, they mess around in the first half. They seem to struggle with, like, Iowa, et cetera, and the likes of those types of teams. I won't deny Penn State's better than Iowa, but look what they did to Iowa in the second half. I mean, they must have scored five touchdowns. So I still like the Buckeyes in this game on the road.
I like the Buckeyes as well. I'm willing to lay the 15 and a half. I think that they'll take care of business in Happy Valley. They won't be so happy, as you said earlier in the week. Kansas State and Oklahoma State. You were talking about this one earlier in the Little Apple, Manhattan, Kansas, -1.5. For the Wildcats right now, the Cowboys coming in, of course, 6-1. Man, I kind of like – I wish we knew more about Martinez, Scotty. I know it's game time.
I know you're
going to
say
decision.
Oklahoma State, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like the Cowboys. But they're they're tough to beat in Manhattan, Kansas State. They're very tough to beat there.
Yeah, I don't know. Look – we were talking to Wyatt Thompson, and it's obvious, it sounds to me like Adrian Martinez's game time decision. If he plays, Kansas State will win the game. If he doesn't play, I think Oklahoma State will win the game.
I think that that's kind of where I'm lying with it as well. I kind of like the under 56 too. Kansas State likes to kind of get you into their type of a game at home, and they might
find out. I'm not making that bet until I know who's playing quarterback. I'm just not making the bet until I know.
The unfortunate thing about college football is that we might not know until they kick the ball off tomorrow. I mean, last night, that Utah quarterback, Cam Rising, nobody said he wasn't playing, and then they kicked the ball off, and the backup came trotting on the field, and they said the kid's not playing. Like, what? There's just never any
in-game.
They never let you know. Next, let's go to the cocktail party in Jacksonville. The Gators and Georgia get together. Now -24. This has gone up to 22.5 most of the week. You see it right there on the board. Today to -24, 56.5 the total.
I mean, I think Georgia wins the game. I got a hard time believing they're covering 24 against Florida in Jacksonville. I mean, I just don't think they – I mean, who are they running it up against this year? Who are they blowing out in games? All their cream puffs that they play. That's the only teams they're blowing out. So I have my druthers whether they can cover the fat piece.
It is a very, very big number. I wouldn't lay it with Georgia. If anything, I'd probably take it with the Gators. I don't want to lay it. I like the under 56.5 if I had to play anything in that game. Kentucky and Tennessee under the lights at Neyland tomorrow night. Now, potential look-ahead spot here for the Vols, Scotty. We know the situation with them. They've beaten Alabama already. They have Georgia next week between the hedges. That's a good Kentucky team they got coming to town, 12.5 tomorrow night.
Yeah, that might be a really good number to grab on the 12.5 side with the Wildcats. I still like the Vols to get by them, though.
And in Ann Arbor, Sparty and the Wolverines under the lights as well. Now, remember last year, that was the only game Michigan lost in the regular season. They lost in East Lansing, so maybe a little bit of payback here for Harbaugh and the crew. 22.5. That's another big number in a rivalry game for me.
Well, I mean, Michigan State was a good football team last year, and this year they're not. So correct. That's the question. That's why the number's so big. And they're playing in the Big House. So I think Michigan State's been pretty bad this year. I mean, they look awful. Yep. So, and Michigan's just looks fantastic, especially Corum running the ball. He's going to go over 1,000 yards tomorrow. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you might be able to cover that number in a rivalry game this year based on where they're going, the directions they're headed. Michigan is headed to Columbus on the 26th of November with their schedule undefeated. And they're going to take on Ohio State undefeated, and Ohio State's going to be undefeated, I would think. And if they lose to Penn State, I'll keel over. And then if they lose to Michigan State, I'll drop dead, and you can just put the wood over the casket and nail me in there. Because I still feel like, as you do, they're going to meet undefeated, don't you?
Yes, I think without question. This year it is the Wolverines and the Buckeyes undefeated.
For the
last
world.
Last year they each had one loss going into that game. I don't think that'll be the case this year. You're going to get yourself a top three in the college football playoff ranking type of matchup.
That might be better than the national championship game.
It might be, considering how awful those playoffs are every year. We need to get ourselves a good game, and that might be the best one.
That's the
that
one.
We do. All right, let's do some more games here for tomorrow. Notre Dame, who has been awful this year, they go to the Dome up at Syracuse, who's been very good this year. They did get their first loss of the season at Clemson last week. 2.5 is the number for the Orange. TCU, they are still undefeated, going to Morgantown, laying 7.5 on the road. Oklahoma and Iowa State in Ames, Oregon, laying 17.5 in Cal.
Well, I think Notre Dame's going to lose at Syracuse. Syracuse blew the Clemson game in Death Valley. TCU is going to beat West Virginia. Are they going to win by 8 is the question. Baylor couldn't win there. Oregon, nope. You look at that game against Cal, they're going to win that game. Are they going to win by 18 in Berkeley, where Cal actually plays good football? They get away from Berkeley. They're awful. And I actually think Oklahoma found their footing again, and I think they beat Iowa State.
It's so hard to score against that team, but Iowa State can't score either. You'd have to think that Oklahoma is going to be able to get themselves a couple of more points than them. Next, Wake Forest and Sam Hartman. Maybe a tricky road game into Louisville. Louisville does suck this year, but anything can happen. Illinois is in the driver's seat, Scotty, for the Big Ten West now. They go to Lincoln. They're laying 7.5 on the road. Cincinnati and UCF, good game in the American at the Bounce House. Missouri visits South Carolina, who is now ranked after beating Texas A&M last week.
I think South Carolina will beat Missouri at Bryce Williams. I think they'll beat them in Columbia. I think Cincinnati will go to UCF and somehow find a way. They found a way against SMU in Dallas. I think they can do it again. It's not going to be easy. I wanted to take Nebraska for the upset in Lincoln. I wanted to desperately. I'm more inclined to go Illinois by 1 or 2 points that they won't cover the number. That's going to be an absolute war. You know, Nebraska has nothing to lose than to play dirty. Just play dirty against Illinois. That's what you got to do, because otherwise Illinois is going to run you over. And I like Sam Hartman every time he plays. I'm taking him to beat Louisville.
I'm taking him as well, and I'm with you on Nebraska with the points at home. I think that game will be a lot closer than 7.5. Some night games, Ole Miss and Texas A&M. We've talked about this one quite a bit this week. Jimbo going home after some just tough performances on the road. They haven't been home, Scotty, believe it or not, since that Miami game in mid-September. So back at Kyle Field, Ole Miss -1.5. Stanford and UCLA, the late-night bailout blowout game. The Bruins laying big points. Baylor and Texas Tech tomorrow night. And Pitt getting 3 at Chapel Hill against North Carolina.
Yeah, I think North Carolina will beat Pitt in Chapel Hill. And I think Texas Tech finds a way, as usual, in Lubbock. I think UCLA is going to rake Stanford at the Rose Bowl. I think Stanford sucks, and I can't stand them. That 15-14 game last week made me sick to my stomach. They suck so bad. Ole Miss, they're laying 2. You know, Stanford, they're laying 2. They win by 1. Go figure, at home. I like Ole Miss to go into Kyle Field and rebound from last week's loss at LSU and beat A&M, because A&M is having a nightmare season, and they're talking about firing Jimbo, giving him $80 million to go away. And you're going to tell me they're just going to start winning all of a sudden? No, it is the season of doom in College Station. They've been awful, and Ole Miss is better. And let's see you prove it, Lane Kiffin. Go on the road in a hostile environment. Screw all those, engineers, whatever the hell else they're training there at a military school, and go in there and smack their face. Honestly.
Now, there, of course, Scotty, there's a lot more games tomorrow. And if you like any of them, I'm assuming that people are going to be able to find that on PharrellOnTheBench.com before the games tomorrow. I'm going to assume that any of those other games on the slate tomorrow, you're going to be able to find them over at PharrellOnTheBench.com, right?
I mean, we got massive action going on there, and all the best bets of all those schools you think don't matter, but they all pay when you hit the bets.
They all pay. Number four prospect in the country, cornerback Cormani McClain, commits to Miami, who is awful this year. How about Miami laying points on the road again in Charlottesville tomorrow? You want to dip your toe in the pool with Mario Cristobal and the U tomorrow against Virginia? No. You willing to do that?
Listen, I will give him credit for poaching the number one cornerback in America. Yeah. And getting him to go to play in Coral Gables, to me, is astonishing recruiting, especially when you are complete ass butter all year and can't get out of your own way. You lost to Middle Tennessee. You lost to everybody. And you're going to go to Virginia. You're going to lose that effing game, too. They're going to lose in Charlottesville tomorrow. They lost. I mean, Duke smacked that ass in Hard Rock like they have never been beaten before. Their season is over. Their season ended a while ago. But at least they got this kid, McClain. What a snag. But you know what? I got to tell you, all this recruiting and they're getting all this attention today. You can recruit the greatest players in the world. You got to win football games. They don't win football games. They got all the talent in the world. They never win. Miami looks like Miami of Ohio.
Maction starts next week. Tuesday and Wednesday night, Mac.
They might beat the Canes too, that team. They could probably beat Miami. I think Miami of Ohio can beat Miami. I really do.
And you mentioned this earlier when we did the Tennessee game, that Jalen McCullough cleared to play after that arrest that you were talking about.
You should be entitled to beat someone's ass. You break into my house, I'm going to beat your ass, and then I get arrested for it, for assault. Screw you. Screw the popo. Screw the judge. Screw the prosecutor. Screw the DA. You break into my house and I'm sitting there with my girlfriend in bed. You break into my house, I'll kill you. How's that sound?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver High, are we doing the hockey here?
Let's do the hockey here because we got ourselves a nice little 2 minutes. We could blow through all these games tonight on the ice. Let's start in Carolina, Scotty, where we have the Islanders and the Hurricanes tonight. Josh Bailey playing his 1,000th NHL game, all of them with the pride of Long Island. Right now, Hurricanes minus 190 plus $1.55 for the Isles.
I got to tell you, I didn't like the price on the Canes, and I think the price I could deal with is the Islanders getting that goal and a half at minus $1.60.
Yeah.
And I hit a bunch of those last night. The Blackhawks hit the Flyers, getting the goal and a half.
You want to talk about a gutless team, and obviously you could tell that I lost a parlay right now. You want to talk about a gutless team. How about the Leafs losing in San Jose to the Sharks last night? I mean, they suck. I mean, they have been awful on that road trip. Yeah. I'm done with the Leafs. I don't want to hear them anymore. Colorado is in New Jersey tonight. They're at the Rock against the Devils. Minus 125 for the Avalanche, plus 105 for New Jersey. And then Colorado goes to the horse track tomorrow, Scotty, to play the Islanders.
Yeah, that's no joke. But the best price here on this board is the Rotto at minus $1.45. I mean, these are the Stanley Cup champs. And now all of a sudden, the Devils are going to push them around? Come on.
They
beat the Rangers. Go beat the Devils. I think the Islanders might catch them tomorrow night, though.
You're right. And Penguins are in Vancouver tonight. Of course, they lost those games in Edmonton and Calgary earlier in the week. Penguins minus 190. Vancouver finally won a game last night.
And I hit it.
Against Seattle, they're plus $1.55 tonight.
I hit that $1.10 last night with that 5-4 win over the Smoke Kraken in Seattle. Look, I think the buy here is the Penguins to win outright. I thought laying the goal was too much money. It was almost two bills.
Yeah.
And I just, I think it's just Penguins beat the Canucks. I don't think they're good enough to stop that offense.
And here's the other three games. They're going to face off in an hour. The special Nevada Day matinee at the T-Mobile. The 3 o'clock local face-off between the Knights and the Ducks coming up. Bruins and the Jackets tonight as well. There you go.
I'm on the Knights laying the goal in a half.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.